When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Dear Sugar is supported by...
The universe has good news for the lost, lonely, and heartsick. Sugar is here, the both of us, speaking straight into your ears. I'm Cheryl Strayed.
I'm Steve Almond. This is Dear Sugar Radio.
Oh, dear soul, won't you please share some bittersweet days with me? My mailbox every day. Oh, and the sugar you send my way.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Steve.
Well, it's week two of All Politics is Personal, All Personal is Politics.
That's
this
right.
Is Lover Edition.
The Lover. Have you ever dated somebody who had oppositional political views,
OPV.
Who didn't think like you do
yes,
politically.
Yes, I have. In fact, those a vast number of fans who are deep students of the Steve Almond short story oeuvre will remember the story, How to Love a Republican, from my first collection, My Life in Heavy Metal, which is in fact about a love affair set during the Gore Bush election of 2000,
right,
which was a moment where this hyper-partisanship just went berserk. And in the midst of that, I was dating a beautiful, lovely person who was of a different political party than I was. And it really got in my brain. I started thinking, what happens when it's not just friends or family, but your lover?
Mm-hmm.
And can you really be with somebody in a long-term way where you're of different political persuasions? And I think the answer to that, frankly, is yes. But what I was running up against was, it's not about the politics. It's about agreeing on basic things that cut below politics. And, you know, I mean, I didn't end up marrying that person. You know, we eventually broke up.
But did you break up because of the political divide?
No, it wasn't that. But we did break up. I think part of the reason was because I saw the family that she came from, and I saw her loyalty to that family, and I saw their political views, and I realized that she was going to be loyal to that family code and that way of thinking and being in the world, and that I was going to have to contend with that for the rest of our relationship.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. You just categorically said, you answered that question, can we be with people who have different political views? And you say yes. And I would say
it depends.
I think it depends on the person. I think of myself, honestly, as someone who couldn't be in a romantic relationship, certainly not a long-term one, with someone who had different political values than me. I mean, significantly different values, I should say. What is a government and what purpose should government serve?
Mm-hmm.
What obligations do we have as citizens to our fellow citizens and to the world? All of those questions are so big to me that I wouldn't want to be constantly arguing them in my own bedroom,
mm-hmm.
metaphorically and literally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think it's so cut and dry. This isn't to say some couples haven't succeeded at doing that. And today we're going to have a couple on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Our friends Jimmy Camp and Samantha Dunn are going to talk about their marriage, which is a, you know, Democrat falls in love with a Republican story,
mm-hmm.
and the Republican falls in love back. I don't know how it works. I don't.
Well, we're going to find out.
It's a mystery to me.
We're going to find out.
We're going to also delve into this in our letters. Will you read the first one?
I will. Dear Sugars, I am a 27-year-old female and I'm in love with my boyfriend. We've been together now for 2 years and we are stuck lovingly. Oh, so stuck. 2 years ago, we fell quickly into lust, then into a playful, lighthearted love. We were exclusive with one another almost instantly. We now share incredible intimacy and love for one another. We often talk about our future together. Our chemistry and attraction is high, and we are open and honest. If I shared this letter with him today, not a word about it would surprise him. He is kind, affectionate, brilliant, generous, thoughtful, understanding, forgiving, patient, and so beautifully sensitive. He tears up when he sees dead animals on the side of the road every time.
He must be a Democrat.
But only if the animals are registered Republicans.
That's
okay,
right.
Sorry. And off the bat, we identified some differences in how we view the world, our definitions of purpose, financial goals, ambition, social justice, religion, health, taxes, world affairs, and, of course, the boxes we check in the voting booth. If I were to define myself, I would say first and foremost, I'm a strong feminist. And it's extremely important to me that my partner is a feminist as well. My boyfriend gushes about how much I've taught him about the world and opened his eyes to new views, but I can't seem to get on board with some of his views. Am I simply stubborn and one-sided? We try the active sharing and learning route, sending each other articles, and we end up in heated discussions for hours. He tells me that these discussions are exciting and energizing, whereas I feel defeated, frustrated, and angry. I often wind up in tears, cringing at the thought of him teaching our children ways about the world I don't agree with, even when I understand where he's coming from. I'm angry at myself for failing to choose a partner that has more of a similar foundation to my own values. If we stay together, can we resolve our differences, acknowledge them with love and respect, then push them aside? Both of us grew up in loving families where our parents have lasted decades together, sticking together no matter what. For both of us, we've learned the power of unconditional love, for better or for worse. I am completely stuck and need help before I limit my options. Sugars, I want kids. I want a family and a big, deep love with my partner. I'm 27, but I feel the clock ticking in the sense of wanting to start defining if this is the relationship for me or if I should move on. I don't want to leave my boyfriend, whom I love so much, because of my own inability to connect with someone different than myself. How do I know if I should let go or continue? Sincerely, love stuck behind party lines.
This is a hard one.
Not for you. You're like, boop, gone.
Well, that's right. But I mean, honestly, my feeling about her situation is I would have these same doubts as her. I mean, that's why, like, I honestly say those kind of very different political views are a deal killer for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think I even said that back on our deal killer episode.
Like, yep.
That is for me one of the deal killers. And it does feel personal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And Love Stuck, I want to say to you, you know, for that reason, alarm bells are going off. The fact that you're writing to us tells us that this is a big deal to you. It's a big issue. It's something that you're haunted by.
Yeah. One thing that's very odd to me is that you talk about the importance of feminism in your life, and you say it's important that my partner is a feminist as well. And then you don't tell us, and I'm glad to say that when it comes to equality and so forth, my boyfriend is totally on board with that. I just don't know why there's no answer there.
Because he's not. I mean, that seems implied to me, right?
I don't know, but I'm unsettled by the elision that there's no mention
yeah.
of it. I think it would be mentioned if he was affirmatively saying, yes, you're right, women, equal mm-hmm. work, equal pay, et cetera. The other thing that's unsettling here is that the attempt at discourse, which I think is great, the sharing and learning approach, you find defeating and thwarting. You tell us that you feel defeated and angry and wind up in tears. And right after that is, I cringe at the thought mm-hmm. of him inculcating our children with these values that I don't agree with. And I wonder, you know, you say my boyfriend would be okay with hearing this letter and he would agree with everything. Would he be okay with hearing that?
Mm-hmm.
I get the sense also that the family culture that you came from, Lovestuck, is one in which the parents have lasted for decades because they stick together no matter what. And there's almost an ominous, I don't know if you picked up on it, Cheryl, but there's an ominous feeling to that, as if look, we just learned that we stick together no matter what, no matter how miserable we are, no matter how incompatible we are. That's not what she's saying to us, this letter writer, but there's something about love conquers all. And I'm not trying to undo all the wonderful things that this person is, but you're right, since you want to have a family and you know that's important to you and your political and moral views are really important to you, you need to figure out whether you can be compatible in this way.
Yeah. And we're going to call Sam and Jimmy in a minute.
Yes.
And they can give us some insight, a peek into their marriage and how they've made this divide work. But before we get on the phone with them, I just want to say one thing to you, Love Stuck. And that is, if you do decide to stay in this relationship, get used to this conflict. And so it's not a conflict that's probably going to go away if you decide to stay. It's going to be one that you have to learn to live with.
And manage.
And so that's a really, you know, important question to ask yourself. Are you willing to be engaging with a conflict of this nature potentially for the rest of your life?
And find a way to discuss these things that doesn't leave you feeling defeated, frustrated, angry, weepy, and cringing.
So let's presume that Samantha Dunn and Jimmy Camp have actually managed to do that.
Yeah, exactly. They better.
Let's give them a call and see what they have to say
about this
letter and other things.
This is Sam.
Hi, Sam and Jimmy.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Cheryl.
It's so nice to hear your voices. And I cannot even tell you how grateful we are that we know you.
Our marriage.
Our elephant and donkey friends.
Correct.
That's right.
So before we dragoon you guys into answering this sticky set of questions posed by our letter writers, we want to hear a little bit of the Sam and Jimmy backstory. How did this love come together?
The love story.
Across political conventions and aisles.
It was purely physical.
Nice.
It was, actually. No, the story is that I had dated every musician, producer, actor on the west side of Los Angeles for years.
Nice.
And was just kind of fed up. And I decided to do something completely different and go on Match.com.
Mm.
So there I was about a month into this process, and this, I don't know whether you guys know the conventions of Match.com or not, but
we don't. We're woefully married.
You're woefully married.
I mean,
you're
happily
for a
married,
time.
But we've been off the dating scene.
Thank you.
I don't mean woefully.
Super happily.
What I mean is we're woefully unaware of the crazy dating scene that you kids are up to these days.
Correct.
This was 10 years ago, so this is kind of ancient history. This is like way before the left swipe, right swipe. But it used to be that, you know, you'd sign on to Match.com and you'd either have a note from someone who wanted to meet with you, or you just have a wink.
Ooh.
And so one day I sign on and I have this wink from this guy named Jimmy. And the side note here is that my mother was visiting at the time, so this is an important part of the story, because she comes over my shoulder and I say, "Mom, this guy's looking for me," because, you know, he's got that kind of James Dean squint and the, you know, kind of tough guy but tortured too look on his face and just screamed
your type,
like
yeah.
sex appeal.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I said, Mom, this guy's looking for me. And she comes over and she ambles, you know, up to the screen. And she says, "Watch, he'll be a Republican." That was her way of saying, you know, he beats his dog when he's not in prison. I mean, it was like the worst thing she could possibly say, given our, you know, our family culture. And, yeah, you know the punchline to this story. So we started talking, and he didn't tell me right away he was a Republican. He was witty and charming, and talked for, I don't know. Do you remember
revealed
that fact?
I remember, because we started emailing first. Like, we would send each other 2 or 3 emails a day. And I told her what I did, and, you know, that I was a Republican, because it started joking. It was like, "Oh, what did you do today?" And I would write back, "Oh, I went and, you know, tortured poor people, and I blew up an abortion clinic," and I, you know, like jokingly saying these evil, terrible things that people think Republicans do in their spare time. So we kind of had that
Jimmy,
joke.
No, but let's back up. At the time, were you actually, because I understand you aren't just a Republican, you actually work for political candidates and stuff.
And
is that
causes,
correct?
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Yeah, I'm a political consultant. I run political campaigns. I've done stuff in many states, but mostly in California, you know, state assembly, state senate, congressional races. I've done a lot of statewide. I worked for Schwarzenegger for 4 years, believe it or not.
He ran Orrin Hatch's bid for president. Mm-hmm. You know, the way I liken it is not only did I fall in love with Darth Vader, I'm just now dining aboard the Death Star.
Right. So you guys, you were telling us when this big reveal came, where you're emailing each other, and when do you sort of come out to each other about your politics and what happened?
Well, he knew mine right off the bat. He could, you know,
he spots a
smell
Democrat
liberal. And, yeah, come on. I lived in Topanga Canyon, writer chick. I think it was all over. But when I do remember, now that you say that, I do remember it was in an email, and I remember getting it, seeing the words Republican, especially, well, not especially always, but then, I mean, we were just in the midst of the Bush years, and I remember seeing the Republican word, and I had been on the west side of L.A. for so long, I don't think I'd met or spoken to a Republican in years, and it did, it gave me pause. And I thought, how can I have had such amazing conversations with this guy who loves Bob Dylan, who, you know, loves the environment, who whose favorite novel is A Confederacy of Dunces, all of these things that we'd talked about for hours and hours. And I thought, well, you know what? Suck it up and see where this goes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What I'm curious about, so you meet, you start to fall in love, there's all of this energy. Describe to us how you've dealt with those differences and if it's been a point of contention or not.
Right.
I mean, I think maybe only a couple of times have we ever had a really contentious political discussion.
I think that's true.
Was usually because we were probably grumpy about other stuff. Huh.
It can get
contentious, but we don't fight over it.
But Cheryl's talking about when we first started dating and really falling in love and really starting to make this choice for a commitment. And I have to say, you know, probably the most profound conversation we had along those lines was about the issue of choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he and I are in different camps. And that is a hard thing for me because that is a single issue.
But we're not
issue.
That far off. We're not that far off.
We're not that far. He sees policy in a different way. He sees the choice of a woman in, God, we could do a whole show on this, you guys.
Yeah.
But let me just say that was one conversation where we really got into, I cried and we were on different sides of the issue, and we both tried to make each other understand why we were advocating the way we were advocating.
And keep in mind, so I'm not one of those overturn Roe v. Wade by any means.
So your differences they're more nuanced than that kind of
more nuanced. Okay. They're about access. They're about parental consent, all of those issues, right?
Okay.
No, I couldn't be with someone who was fundamentally opposed to civil rights, which I define not only through race, but through sexual orientation.
Uh-huh.
If my husband wasn't a complete advocate for human rights, then I couldn't be with him.
Interesting.
You know, the way he sees policy sometimes, we disagree. Really, what we argue about, I think the second biggest argument we ever had was about Paul Ryan's budget, about the national budget shutdown, I don't know, 6 years ago or whatever. We argued profoundly about that. But at the end of the day, I look at how Jimmy treats people. I look at how he advocates for people. I look at how he advocates for people's rights. And I say he's socially liberal and fiscally just wrong.
And it sounds like you found, interestingly, here we are framing this as like, you guys are on opposite sides of things, but what you've actually found, it sounds like, is a lot of common ground.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I may say something once in a while, or she may say something, but we just let it go.
Uh-huh.
It's like, in almost a humorous way.
Right.
Well, also, too, you know, the issue that we run into is people not understanding how we can possibly be with each other. When we first started dating, I had people unfriend me. I had people disinvite us from a dinner party because my new boyfriend was a Republican.
Right.
And I think that this is what we talk about all the time. This issue of polarization in our country is what we talk about.
Right.
The fact that we have demonized each other to such an extent that we will not even consider having dinner with someone who votes differently than we do.
Well,
that is a huge issue.
The other interesting thing, and I think Samantha would agree, my sort of uber super conservative friends were more accepting of her than her super progressive friends were of me.
Yeah.
That's actually very
true. Which is interesting.
It's because hippies are sexy.
Dude, you're back to them.
That's right. So listen, you guys, you know, we right before we called you, we were discussing a letter that I hope you've read. It's from a woman who signs her letter, Love Stuck Behind Party Lines. And she speaks really specifically to her conflict, her doubts. And one of the things I was curious about, you know, she says, for example, I'm a strong feminist and it's important to me that my partner's a feminist as well. And I'm curious, you know, what you have to say about the question she's asking. Will these doubts that she has, will they grow? Do you have advice for her? How might she manage this relationship?
I mean, I've read the letter. I mean, I'm looking at it right now, but it seems to me that I hate to say this, but if you want to continue in this relationship, you're going to have to get over it. Mm-hmm. One line that really struck me that I think she needs to read to herself over and over is, I don't want to leave my boyfriend, whom I love so much, because of my own inability to connect with someone different than myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed to me in the letter that he kind of like laughed it off a little bit, or it wasn't that big of an issue to him. It sounds like the issue is hers, if she's willing to let these things go, because there's so many other things that she can care about and love about this person.
Huh.
Well, I actually didn't know specifically what the issues were. She spoke more in abstractions.
Yep.
And I wondered if she was so attached to the abstraction of being a feminist, she didn't look at what the relationship actually looked like. Is there equality? Is there respect in their relationship? Is the practice there versus the label? Because it seemed that she was attached to a label and she wasn't looking at the practice of the actual relationship.
Huh.
And that's what made me wonder if she should just kind of abandon labels and just be with this person that she loves. Because, listen, as we know, we've all been married forever now, right? I mean, there's going to be a lot of other things about your partner that you're going to want to kill them for. You know, the day-to-day specifics are what lead to homicide, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we should just let go of these concepts. I mean, it's kind of a joke now when I introduce my husband as the big, you know, GOP political operative. The fact of the matter is he's a man who always remembers to tell me he loves me, and he always remembers to pick our kid up from school when he says he's going to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The actual practice of who he is in the world is complicated, but on par, there's more positive than negative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what counts in any relationship.
Interesting. So really, you know, Cheryl and I, in talking about this, we're very focused on how, you know, defeated and frustrated and angry and tearful her interactions are with him around trying to sort of align their values or come to some sense of peace with them. And what both of you are saying is, hold on a second, what about the whole beginning of the letter where she's talking about how generous and thoughtful and understanding and patient and how connected and open and honest this guy is? It's almost as if essentially you're saying, well, listen, you can choose to focus on the parts of the relationship that are nourishing and supportive and beautiful and healthy, or you can get fixated on the places where you have political disagreements and maybe even moral disagreements, but that's not ultimately what you should be focusing on for long-term happiness.
I agree. That's exactly it. And one more thing. I know I'm talking a lot, honey. I'm sorry. I know I can see you're sitting over there silent. But but here is another thing. If she walks away from this relationship, she's never going to get the chance to be the one who influences him. And it works both ways, I hate to say.
Yeah.
I mean, it does. I mean, that's the beauty of having a relationship where you don't agree on everything. You get to erode each other's defenses over time and come to a new space.
Mm-hmm. Here's my question, which has more to do with the line where this woman, Love Stuck, says, I often wind up in tears cringing at the thought of him teaching our children ways about the world I don't agree with, even when I understand where he's coming from. You guys have a beautiful son. Has that ever come up, or in your courtship and engagement, you know, did that come up as a concern for either one of you, that when you, you know, started a family, that you would somehow have to have a conflict around what values were going to be passed down to your children or child?
Never. We do influence our children, but Sam and I influence Ben in different ways. And I think, like, I'll give you a good example. A couple of months ago, and I'm not supporting anyone right now in the presidential race, but I have friends that work on all the campaigns, and they'll call me when they come to town, and, hey, can you help us with this? We're doing a big rally. And I took Ben to a Ben Carson rally. Now, obviously, Sam totally disagrees with everything that Ben Carson is about. But you know what? It never even came up like that was an issue. Like, what are they going to indoctrinate into my son? Ben had a great time. He got to meet Ben Carson, and it was a great thing. Or if it was vice versa, I mean, if, you know, Sam wanted to take him to see Bernie Sanders, I would be all for it. I want him to have sort of that richness of diversity in his life. And, you know, when he's of age where he starts thinking of things political, he can make up his own mind based on our experiences.
Well, also, fairness and love and equality, those are the central values that we share, and they're expressed more in one party than another, I believe. But the fact of the matter is that our child is getting this huge exposure to the political process, to arts, to the things that kind of make the world go round in a profound way, and I think that's really the best gift we can give him. I do want to say, and I don't know whether I've ever told you this, honey, but I did have a moment when we first took Ben up to see his grandparents. And at his grandparents' house, my mother-in-law has a picture on the wall of herself with Bob Dole, and it says, thanks, Sharon, love, Bob, and it's got Reagan on the wall, et cetera, et cetera. I grew up in a home with JFK and the Pope, and, you know, a completely different set of values. We had a switchblade in my house of a caricature of Richard Nixon, nude, and it said, turn Nixon off. So that should give you the idea of my household. And I did have a sense of fear that he would revere these people that I had been brought up to not revere. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's going to be who he is, and he's going to find out and make up his own mind about history.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk more about the way families influence who we are politically. We have a letter from somebody who has those same concerns. But the conversation has been so enlightening, and I hope, Lovestuck, you got some great advice from Sam and Jimmy. And I also want to say, one of the things that I thought was really useful is this idea of common ground. And I think, of course, we are not in your relationship, Lovestuck. Only you know if you actually have common ground with your partner. You know, Sam and Jimmy do. Even though they identify with different parties, there's a whole lot they have in common. It's not clear to us from your letter if that's the case. And so I would say, you know, on one hand, I think Jimmy's advice to get over it and to focus on the fact that you love him is really wise advice. I also think it's important for you to consider what Steve and I were saying before we got Sam and Jimmy on the phone, and that is, you know, these doubts might be real enough that you should listen to them. If you find yourself seriously at odds, feeling like you don't have common ground, feeling like your ideas aren't valued and you really can't hear your partner's ideas, that's, to me, a real red flag in a relationship, and it might be one that you might want to take seriously.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to read the next letter.
Let's do it.
You guys ready?
Ready.
Yep.
Dear Sugars, I'm a progressive Democrat from Oklahoma, which you may know to be a predominantly red state. I was born into an extremely conservative family, and as a glutton for punishment, also married into one. My husband and I have agreed to disagree, and we mostly don't talk politics at home unless it's a joke we can both enjoy. I know that he's a good person, and he knows the same about me. We're really not all that different despite this major contrast. However, his family is becoming increasingly difficult to be around. We have two babies and often go to my in-laws' home so they can spend time with their grandchildren. Unfortunately, the specific issue most commonly brought up is LGBTQ rights, which I am a strong supporter of, and they are appalled by. Up until this point, I've remained silent about my perspective to avoid conflict. In fact, my mother-in-law only found out that I was a Democrat last month after 4 years of marriage to her son. I know that the dinner table discussions will only intensify with the recent anti-transgender laws in some states, and I also know that it will become increasingly more difficult to sit silent over something I feel so strongly about. My concern is that by coming out, I will be marked as a sinner, a baby killer, and many of the other inaccurate descriptions they use to label members of the Democratic Party. Although I'm scared, I believe it's important to stand by my beliefs, both for myself and my children. I shouldn't worry so much about how they view me. My actions speak clearly about the kind of person I am. But the truth is, I am worried. How can I address our differences in a way that isn't damaging to our family and doesn't cause future tension? With love, signed, Lefty Lucy.
Mm-hmm. I want you guys to just give us your take on this.
Tell Lefty Lucy what you
think. Well, it's tough because you know, I don't know. I'm hearing a description of the in-law family based on her perceptions of them. I could tell you about my family. I mean, my father is a Baptist pastor in a rural part of California. He's very conservative. Both my parents are conservative. My father is against marriage equality, and he and I have had numerous discussions on that. But my dad isn't a hateful person. He doesn't hate, and I'll let Sam go into this more because Sam is very close to my father as well, and they probably have more political conversations than Sam and I do.
Yeah.
So a lot of times people will look at, let's say someone is against marriage equality, that they're a hate monger. I hear that term a lot. Yep. I mean, keep in mind, our president didn't come around until about 3 years ago, but there are many people that are against marriage equality that are hateful people, but there are many that aren't. My father happens to be one of them. He's kind, loving. He feeds the homeless. He does many things in his community that I agree with. However, we happen to disagree on the marriage. So, and I'll let Sam talk a little bit more about that because of her relationship with my dad. But I'm speaking advice to the letter here, and that is, I mean, have you really sat down with him and said, hey, we disagree on some issues, and I respect your side of the issue, and really try to not convince each other that the other one's wrong, or
right.
to say you're a hate monger or you're going to hell because you love the gays or whatever. But really sit down and go, okay, can we agree that we just disagree on this and that there's nothing wrong with that? Sam?
Well, it's interesting because your dad and I have had, as you said, many more conversations. I can talk to him for hours. I love him. He is the only man who has ever called me daughter. He is a profound individual, and he's also a product of his generation and the West Virginia Baptist environment he comes from. I think your dad is a pretty progressive guy at his heart, because, you know, if you want to talk about, you know, hardcore progressives, there's nobody who's a better example of that than Jesus Christ, quite frankly. So your dad and I have had these discussions, and he has said, yes, homosexual marriage is a sin, but it is no greater sin than what I sin in my life. So I think that there was some language in this letter that referred to sinners or recalled some
baby killer,
evangelical,
right. uh-huh.
yeah, not evangelical, Pentecostal Christian language. And I think that her best approach might be to counter that with the language of love and, you know, as Jimmy just alluded to, have a conversation, not trying to convince them otherwise, but just to be an example of love and to say why she believes marriage equality is not only legally important, but morally important, and why it's based in perhaps their shared values of Christianity. I'm just guessing that she's a Christian, but given the fact that she was raised in this environment, or at least she has that language mm-hmm. in her background. So if she can come to them and just talk in the language of love, that all people deserve love, that was the example of Christ. I've learned a lot about this language from my father-in-law, and it's helped me, actually, in speaking to really hardcore conservatives, because if the conversation circles back to the Bible, there's a lot more about love and acceptance from Jesus Christ than there is about anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One of the things I'm really struck by, you know, she does describe, I think, a different family. She uses mm-hmm. those words, you know, their hatred. Democrats to them are sinners and baby killers. And first, I want to say to Lefty Lucy, I understand why she's afraid. It does sound like they're going to be judgmental mm-hmm. of her. But one of the things that happened, just looking at, you know, the way that, you know, we, and by we, I mean sort of the culture at large, has, for example, viewed gays and lesbians, even over the last 20 years, is
yeah.
that basically once people started being brave enough to come out in numbers, the people who used to hate gays and lesbians started to go,
right.
oh, wait a minute, I hated that group of people, but I don't hate my neighbor
right.
who's gay.
Exactly right. I don't hate Ellen.
I don't hate Ellen DeGeneres. Like, so Lefty Lucy, what I want to say to you is maybe the brave thing you need to do is just say, you know, like you've already told them you're a Democrat. You've survived that, it sounds like, and that you just keep showing more and more of yourself and talking to them about who you are, which isn't going to match up with this false idea they have about what a Democrat is. And, you know, that other concern I think about the kids is really a very real one. But I will say in my own life, and I bet all four of us in this conversation have experiences as children where we witnessed somebody being hateful.
Yeah.
And, you know, my great-grandmother, who was a good person in many ways, I remember sitting, watching television with her. It was like the late 70s or early 80s. And an African-American woman had been, I think, promoted to be like the fire chief of a city or something. And I could not believe the words that came from her mouth as we watched this news report on TV. She, you know, really revealed herself to be a racist. And I was so taken aback that I went and I talked to my mom about it. And my mom said, you know, that's not what we believe, but that is what she believes. And we had what ended up being a really deep conversation about racism and hatred and how sometimes we love and know people who, you know, have ideas that we disagree with. And
yeah.
I think, Lefty Lucy, you are a deep influence with your children. You can talk to your kids about what those relatives say and whether that matches up with your worldview or not.
Yeah.
Can I just add one thing to what Cheryl said? I just want to reiterate how important it is that they see Lefty Lucy as a person they love. If she espouses a different point of view, they're going to hear that in a different way. They're reacting against an abstraction. They haven't met many lefties, but they cannot disavow her because they already love her. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced that directly in, frankly, Jimmy's family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think I am definitely the farthest left of anybody at any family reunion, but I had a relationship with them as a person first before we got into any political discussion.
But what about you, Sam? I mean, your mom was there over your shoulder, and she was like, "What? She's going to be a Republican," which is, you know, probably, I know your mom has now passed away, but she did meet Jimmy and did know him. And I'm curious, did she struggle with you dating a Republican and marrying one?
She didn't struggle with Jimmy, but honestly, she had a big problem with my father-in-law. She did. I mean, until the day she died. She liked my mother-in-law a lot. She just thought she was misguided, but my father-in-law, for her, represented everything that she had rejected in her life, the whole, you know, Christianity, the everything. But she loved
and,
my husband.
And part, but too, I think, I don't think my dad and your mom ever really got to know each other, and I think that would have been different if they had been around each other more and had more of a relationship.
That's probably true, too. But she had a great relationship with you. And they used to have, you know, great conversations. So, at the end of the day.
I don't ever remember talking politics, though, really, with your mom. I mean,
no,
but we were great friends.
No, you talked to Johnny Cash with my mom. But that is the point, though. She saw you as a person.
Uh-huh.
She, you know, was, of course, wowed by his sex appeal when she first met him, as all women are. But then, and that helps your cause, honey. It really helps your cause with liberal women. I have to just say that.
He looks like a Democrat.
He does, doesn't he?
Why? I don't get how I look like it. That's funny. Someone said that to me the other day. I was wearing, like, a cowboy shirt and a pair of jeans.
Jimmy.
And this guy goes, "You're a Republican. You look like a liberal." And I'm like, dude.
You look like a liberal. You're covered with tattoos, and you look like a rocker,
dude. Yeah, but the tattoos are of
you,
Reagan.
You look like you just got off a motorcycle and, you know, had an orgy or something. I mean, I don't know.
My Margaret Thatcher tattoo.
Okay.
Right. Exactly. I love that one.
But you guys have been so helpful, and we just thank you for talking to us about and addressing these two questions.
Well, we love you guys a lot. I hope we helped.
You did.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Well, here's the thing that was kind of amazing about listening to Sam and Jimmy. It's so clear from how they communicate with one another. They kind of love each other, and there's kind of that flirtatious, combative thing. And you're in the presence of what you can kind of pick up on as a loving couple.
Right.
And all of a sudden, all these discussions about these differences and political labels and so forth feel much more manageable, or maybe not beside the point, but not the largest point.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is an example of, you know, it's not, can a Republican and Democrat ever find love together, or can people of different moral values or values about social justice be together, which is the abstract question. That's, can these two people find love, and might that require that there are certain discussions they don't have? Okay, but that's going to happen in any relationship. It's sort of forced us to see the human side, which is mostly you're trying to, in a long-term relationship, find somebody who you really respect. Not every one of their beliefs, but who you respect and who respects you in a day-to-day way. And it was really kind of beautiful to have my thinking about those letters kind of turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
In an odd way, you know, we talked in the first week about, you know, the way in which, especially in this political season, these questions of politics and what your personal dogma is really gets kind of hijacked every 4 years, partly because we stay in these little bubbles,
mm-hmm.
these little dogmatic bubbles. And I so liked that we were brought inside a marriage where it would never have been possible if they tried to preserve that sort of sense of dogma.
Well, and I think, too, I was really struck by Jimmy and Sam saying, you know, listen, we've actually not argued about politics very much.
Right.
You know, and so they've had a few big, you know, blowouts or discussions that were difficult. But mostly the way they've engaged is really about the ways that they have things in common.
Right.
And, you know, I think that Sam and Jim were such a lovely model of how to find that common ground in love.
There it is.
All right. This has been another highly political episode of Dear Sugar Radio. We are produced by WBUR in Boston.
That's right. Our producer and editor is Lisa Tobin.
For president. We are recording at TalkBack Sound and Visual in Portland, Oregon.
Josh Millman is our engineer, and we should mention, I think we are duty bound to mention this beautiful new theme music, which is by the Portland musicians who are known as Wonderly. The vocals are by the wonderful Liz Weiss.
Beautiful, beautiful voice, don't you think, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
Please listen to us and subscribe on iTunes, and write to us at dearsugarradio@gmail.com. And register to vote. Go do it now.